Welcome to the Green Zone for Thursday, July 2nd. I don't have to tell you it's July in Saskatoon. Look at the weather. It's absolutely September-ish. What the heck is going on with the weather, Saskatchewan? What are we doing? Mother Nature is very grumpy some days when it comes to the Saskatchewan weather. Great to have you with us, though. Drew Amanda in for Jamie and I, who will be back one of these days. I'm leaving after Friday. I'll tell you right now, I'm not coming back. 1-877-332-8255. That's the phone number. It's also very smartly the text line as well. You don't have to dial two numbers. 1-877-332-TALK for those of you who do dial by letter. And we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a huge, huge program today. Jay Janauer is going to join us from Global Sports Vancouver. We're going to talk about the Vancouver Canucks and what they're doing. Where are they, really, when you start to think about where the Vancouver Canucks are? Dave Naylor, our CFL insider, of course, the TSN genius when it comes to CFL football. Jeff Merrick, my good friend. We're going to talk about free agency in the National Hockey League and how busy it was. He's, of course, from The Sheet, Jeff Merrick and Craig Wyshynski. And Darnell Nurse, the newest San Jose Shark. Yes, baby. You guys know I've been a fan of Darnell's for a long time, ever since I was in Edmonton. And now he's coming to San Jose. I talked to him yesterday. He was very excited about coming to San Jose. So we're going to talk to Darnell at 5 o'clock. So we got lots to talk about today, including your calls. Again, at 1-877-332-8255. Let's get to the starting lineup. Yeah, the starting lineup, of course, FIFA and the World Cup being front and center still, much to my chagrin. No, I actually watched a little bit of soccer yesterday, the so-called beautiful game, the self-described beautiful game, because I was talking to my son Donovan, and he turned it on while we were talking, and I noticed it was the U.S. Bosnia-Herzegovina game, and it was the USA advancing to the round to face Belgium, even though they lost their best player. And if I butcher the name, I do apologize. Valerian Balogun. I don't know if I got that one right, but close. He got a red card on a play that was, really? You give him a red card for that? Honestly? And he's out. So he's also out for the Belgium game too, which is, that's high punishment. But they moved on. And it was a controversial call, but they won 2-0. France won over Sweden. And to Sarah Mills' delight, Harry Kane's late brace, whatever the hell that means, for England, saved them the game. So I'm guessing that's a brace is a save, do you think? Yeah, exactly, Book. Thanks for your help on that. I appreciate that, buddy. I told you, I know jack about the game. Nothing. So as we look on at the schedule, Canada will play Morocco, one of the tournament favorites, according to what I'm reading right now. And they will play July 4th, the 250th birthday of the United States of America. A great country, no matter what you people keep calling in about when it comes to Bryan Adams' dub song. 1-877-332-8255. Lots to go, of course, on what else is happening. It was NHL Free Agency Day yesterday in the National Hockey League, and it was very, very busy. Day two is getting busy, too. Still some guys out there that you might want to take a flyer on. Patrick Kane would be one of those guys. I think Patrick Kane's one of, well, I do believe in my heart he's the best American player we've ever seen. Patrick Kane's such a terrific player. And he's a free agent on the market. But the big news out of the NHL today is the announcement came out just a couple hours ago, is that Alexander Ovechkin will play in his 22nd season in the National Hockey League. He's played over 1,500 games. He's got over 900 goals, 926 goals. He's got over 1,600 points. He is the greatest goal scorer of all time. But when we talk about Alexander Ovechkin, many, many, many people are cool on how great he is or as a, was a, is or was as a player. My brother, Doug, my oldest brother, Doug, who's a goalie, so that's why he doesn't like goal scorers. He doesn't think much of Ovechkin. I, on the other hand, think he's amazing. But over the last few years, I do feel for Spencer Carberry, because Alex, that one year they won the cup, he was phenomenal. He was back-checking. He was physical. He was doing everything you want him to do. He's not like that anymore. I counted. This was a couple of years ago. Sharks were in Washington. I counted when he was on the power play how many strides he took for the full 2 minutes he was out in the power play. Okay? Want to take a wild guess? Right. Book got it right. Bookman nailed it. Seven strides. Seven strides on the power play. Then he sits at that off wing side. And then when he gets it, he drills it. Didn't score. I don't even think he got a shot. But I feel bad for Spencer Carberry, the head coach, because I know there's times where he just wants to just scream. But as soon as the whistle goes and it's power play coming up for Washington, he doesn't even say anything. Ovi's over the boards. He's absolutely over the boards. But he is returning for his 22nd season. So my question, one of my questions to you today is, where do you rank Alexander Ovechkin? The greatest goal scorer in the history of the game. The hardest thing to do in hockey in the NHL, Connor McDavid said it a couple of years ago, is score goals. So where do you put him? 1-877-332-8255. Been lots of moves in basketball. The biggest one being Jaylen Brown going to Philadelphia from the Celtics. There has been a lot of negative talk about Jaylen Brown in Boston, even though he's been a monster for them. And it was a couple of days ago, I do believe, somebody threw out a post on X that stated that Jaylen Brown should go somewhere where the fans and the organization appreciate him. And he put a like on it. And, well, he's maybe getting his wish when he's going to Philadelphia. Well, that is huge, without a doubt. So when we look at that, that's the big move of the day. Oh, another thing I forgot to tell you. If you didn't see it. So yesterday, there's contracts being handed out. There's a ton of players getting signed to different teams. And one of the interesting parts of the free agency day was the news of Bo Byram. Bo Byram from the Buffalo Sabres got traded to the Chicago Blackhawks before the draft for a draft pick, which was the number four draft pick of overall. Now, when that trade first happened, I thought, Chicago, what are you doing? You got the number four pick. You're not in a position to draft, to pick guys or trade for guys right now that are going to help make the difference for you, because you're still building. You're like the Sharks. You're still building. I think we're ahead of them, but you're still trying to develop your team, draft and develop, draft and develop. That's the only way you do it. And then when you get to the point where you think, okay, we've drafted a lot of guys, we got a full team, we're going to develop, we've developed our guys, now we're going to add some pieces. That's how it works, and that usually is how it gets done, and that's how successful you can be. But they make the trade anyway, when they just could have sat at number four. When you look at the first three guys going, which is McKenna, Stenberg, and Malhotra, all forwards, there are some dynamite players available, defensemen. And they all went right after that. Guys that are 6'4" and right-handed shooters, which, by the way, if you have a young son in the National Hockey or playing hockey right now, if you have a child playing hockey right now and he's thinking about what position do I want to play, make him shoot right-handed and make him play defense. You will get paid. He is going to get paid. Right-handed shooting defensemen are hard to find. But anyway, they make the trade, and Bo Byram gets traded to Chicago. Yesterday, he became the highest-paid defenseman in the league. And I know what you're thinking already. Bo who? Yeah, I got you. I know. You don't watch a lot of Buffalo, and I don't blame you. Until this year, they weren't a fun team to watch. So Bo Byram, you might think to yourself, well, maybe he's a guy that I just haven't paid attention to. He must be lighting it up as far as scoring. Not exactly. The most goals he's ever scored was last year with 11. Most points he's ever had was last year with 42. Before that, 38 points. And he just signed a six-year, $75 million deal, 12.5, to make him the highest paid defenseman in the National Hockey League. So you're asking yourself, who's the next guy? Because it's got to be somebody that's, you know, like Werenski, who's, by the way, going to stay in Columbus. Oh, going to be Makar. Nope. Got to be Hughes. Nope. The next guy is Erik Karlsson, EK65, still looking at $11.5 million annual average salary. Then Rasmus Dahlin, $11 million. Zach Werenski, 9.5. And then there's McAvoy, Fox, and Jones, all at 9.5. Makar's on his last season of $9 million. And Hughes is on his last season at $7.85 million. So if you are Hughes and Makar, you are sending a thank you note to Bo Byram today saying, thanks, pal. Good job. Because they are going to make bank. 1-877-332-8255. As I said, lots of great guests today. And ending it off for us, the great Darnell Nurse is going to join us, a new member of the San Jose Sharks. And we're going to talk to him at 5:05. But more importantly, I get to talk to you for the next few hours. 1-877-332-8255. The big question of the day is, where do you rank Alexander Ovechkin as far as the great players in the game? On the Green Zone, 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Ooh, Barracuda. The great Hart and Nancy Wilson, Barracuda. Hey, I got to apologize. I buried the lead. Maple Leaf fans, you're upset at me at 877-332-8255. I don't blame you. John Chayka did a really good job. I did talk about this with on Saskatchewan Afternoons with Lisa Schick. But John Chayka, the GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, in his second major hint of duty as far as at the draft and now with free agency, he did a really good job. Sergei Bobrovsky is now a Toronto Maple Leaf. That was a big sign. 37-year-old. Had statistically a horrible year last year, but so did Florida. They had everybody injured and they were brutal. But he, in the playoffs, is the man. And the other one, Oilers fans, yeah, I got that one too. Guys, thanks. Is that Freddie Anderson, who just won the cup with the Carolina Hurricanes, got them there. And of course, Brandon Bussey took over when Freddie, there's two things with Freddie Anderson. He, his good friend and agent, the late, great Claude Lemieux, committed suicide. That was before the final game where they knocked out the Canadians, and he still played the game, and he was fantastic. But also, he took a headshot I can't remember, maybe the next game, skate through the crease in a knee to the head. So he had some concussion issues as well. But he needed a break, so they comes in comes Brandon Bussey, and then Brandon Bussey wins the Stanley Cup. Outstanding. First guy that got the cup after their captain, Jordan Staal, was Freddie Anderson. And he has gone to the Edmonton Oilers. So that is very interesting to see that both teams that have been looking for goaltenders. And by the way, also what John Chayka did, fantastic. Besides Bobrovsky, he's really bumped up the third and fourth lines. And I think they've got a situation where they've got some better depth and they could be a team that is going to be a Stanley Cup team. On the other side, with the Edmonton Oilers, they made some good signings. They lose a few guys to free agency, but they were able to get a goaltender in Freddie Anderson, who, again, didn't have a great season last year, but had fantastic playoffs. And now they've opened up $9.5 million annual average salary, cap space, to be able to go out and grab somebody to help their team, to provide more depth. And that's exactly what they are going to do. So lots of great things happening in the National Hockey League, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Vancouver. We're going to talk about the CFL with Dave Naylor. Jeff Merrick, Darnell Nurse is going to be on the program as well. So lots of great stuff to come. But let's do something that we always love to do, the one-minute drill.
The Riders have released their depth chart for the week, and there's some good news for the roster. Both Sam Emlis and Keane Schaefer-Baker are listed as starters after they both missed time during practice this week. Nelson Lacombo is also back, starting at halfback. Returner James Letcher Jr. and defensive tackle Ollie Saad have been added to the six-game injured list. The Riders take on the Ottawa Redblacks on Friday. Kickoff for the game is set for 5:30. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 3:30. The Grade 8 is back in Washington. Alexander Ovechkin has signed a one-year deal to return to the Capitals for the upcoming season. His 929 goals are the most all-time. The Montreal Canadiens have locked up their goaltender for three more seasons. Montreal has signed Jakub Dobesh to a three-year extension. Dobesh posted a 29-10-4 record last season. And the FIFA World Cup continues today as Spain takes on Austria, Portugal faces Croatia, and Switzerland will meet Algeria. That's your Green Zone Sports. I'm Britton Gray.
We are going to check out what's happening on the West Coast with the Vancouver Canucks, who have got a new general manager. They have got a new coach. They've got that third overall draft choice, who is actually this coach or the son's the coach. Let me try that again. Is the son of the head coach, the new head coach, Caleb and Manny Malhotra, with Jay Janauer from Global Sports Vancouver. It's going to be fun. He's a fun guy. And we'll be back on 650 CKM, 980 CJM. Well, that is certainly true of the group in this, involved in this program right now. Welcome back to the program. We're going all over the place. We're going to talk mostly NHL today. But yes, Brett, we are going to talk some CFL. The great Dave Naylor is going to be on as well. But let's get to our next guest. He is from Global News and Sports in Vancouver. And what I'm told, mayor of FGS. I'm going to have to look up whatever that is in the break. The great Jay Janauer joining us from Vancouver. Hello, Jay.
Drew, good afternoon from a wet West Coast where your brother took $10 off of me on the golf course today. It was painful to watch him snake in a 60-foot birdie putt to shoot 79. So let's get that out of the way right now because I know you'll be hearing about your brother's golf game at some point.
Yeah, as you know, I used to work at a golf course long, long time ago, several golf courses, as a matter of fact. And one of the things that was always pleasant, and I've said this before on the air, and you golfers can chime in if you want. One of the great things about golfing is the fact that all you golfers have to talk about the damn round you just had. Of course, now you get to text each other about it. That's always fun to be involved in those conversations.
We all need to be wearing that hat that says nobody cares what you shot today, Jay.
Exactly. First off, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. We're going around the NHL, especially in the Canadian teams, about what's happening. So when we look at the Vancouver Canucks, and now you've got a new GM, you've got a new coach, and you've got the big first-round draft pick and the coach's son.
Yep.
Are they embracing a full rebuild?
I think with what you see, what transpired yesterday, Drew, I would say yes. I would have been hesitant to say that a month ago, but with Ryan Johnson now in control, with Daniel and Henrik Sedin moving out Marcus Pettersson yesterday, getting a first-round draft pick, not retaining any salary, and the people that they have brought in, say what you will about Luke Shanner, Jamie Oleksiak.
Love Luke.
Character, character, character. And it's something that we've heard the Sedins talk about since they were hired. It's something that Ryan Johnson discusses on a regular basis. It's bringing in the right people and cleaning out a dressing room that, I want to say toxic, but we all saw the results the last couple of years. And I think the rebuild is officially on. And I love what we're seeing from Ryan Johnson.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Luke Shen, I know Jamie Oleksiak a little bit, but Luke Shen, good Saskatoon boy. The Shen boys are fantastic human beings. I think it's a terrific move. Another great move, a guy who played for the San Jose Sharks for a year and, of course, played in Vancouver and Toronto, Manny Malhotra. I have nothing but love for Manny Malhotra. I think he's brilliant at what he does. What are your hopes and aspirations for Manny?
Well, I'm glad that you brought up Manny because I don't want to sound like a homer, Drew, when I say I'm going to echo your exact sentiments. First off, we all remember the player that Manny Malhotra was. He was a high first-round draft pick. But let's be honest, never really panned out into the role that he was assumed as a first-round draft pick. But he carved out a career where he turned himself into a two-way player, mostly defensive specialist, but somebody who you would count on, who night in and night out, you knew what you were getting. And when I watched Manny Malhotra coach in Abbotsford the last 2 years, Drew, there's two things that stood out to me. One was the tempo that his team practiced at, how his team played, and how his team competed. That was the one thing that stood out for me. The second was watching him communicate with his players. Didn't matter if they were young or old, he would make a connection with every single one of them. He is a great communicator. And I know that's overused a lot in the coaching world, but when you look at today's player and how much they've changed from, say, a 36-year-old Luke Shen who came up in a different kind of, you know, professional game to compared to today's professional athlete, you have to connect with these young kids who live on their phones, who play video games in their hotel rooms. You have to find a way to reach them, and Manny Malhotra knows how to do that.
Yeah, and he's absolutely brilliant. I know his parents are PhDs in a couple disciplines, but the type of temperament he has, and you're right, he carved out a career because he's smart. He understood that not everybody, like Brian Burke used to say, learn to play the tuba. Not everybody can be first violinists. You got to learn to play the tuba every once in a while if you're not going to be able to make it where you really want to make it, as, you know, that first line center. Instead, he became just a really smart, dependable, trustworthy 200-foot guy. So I very much so.
And I think, sorry, Drew, and I think when we see whatever version of the Canucks that we're going to see once they're finished constructing this roster, you're going to see a team that competes night in and night out. Are they going to win 40 or 50 games? Probably not. But I guarantee you, we'll see a compete that we haven't seen here for 2 years, night in and night out.
Jay Janauer from Global TV in Vancouver joining us. Jay's always around the Canucks and is a good friend of the Remenda family. Well, one in particular member of the family as well. When we look at...
We won't say which brother that is, but you know, I'm glad I'm having this conversation as opposed to the one I had on the golf course with another woman. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, they won't admit it, the two older brothers, but I'm definitely the best one, and I was the favorite of everybody by far. when we look at the draft choice, I'm not worried about it, but there was some talk about the Vancouver Canucks drafting Caleb Malhotra, Manny's son. Now, I thought...
And, you know, I think it's legit. I think it's legit.
Yes, so do I. I thought it was a great moment for the draft. I thought it was a great moment in Vancouver Canucks history. But there was some chatter around. What are your thoughts? Are you concerned about that?
I'm not, and here's why. When you look at the Malhotra family, and you've already talked about Manny and his intelligence level, but, you know, I talked to Caleb at Prospects Camp on Monday just in regards to the family dynamic. Yes, we all know the father-son thing, and that'll play out, you know, over the next couple of years. But you have to remember the household that Caleb Malhotra grew up in. You know, he grew up watching his dad. He played mini sticks in the Canucks dressing room. So, okay, he was always around that professional lifestyle. Of course, he's got his uncle Steve, who played in the NBA, was an MVP. His uncle Martin, a professional athlete. His mom was a very talented collegiate athlete. This is you talk about genes. This is a kid who has professional genes written all over him. As a 16-year-old playing in Chilliwack, when they would have, you know, Chilliwack Chiefs of the BC Hockey League, when they'd have, you know, team community functions, Caleb would be the first kid there and the last kid to leave, eagerly chatting with kids, eagerly chatting with sponsors at the age of 16. So am I worried about the family dynamic of dad coaching son? No. And you know, Manny's such a smart guy. You know, I guarantee he's already chatted with Dave Lowry about, you know, coaching his son Adam, you know, briefly. So he's already done that. So I'm not worried about that dynamic. And then when you look at Caleb, the player, 2 years ago when he was in the BC Hockey League, he was a third liner as a 16-year-old. He didn't really notice him, Drew, but then the playoffs rolled around, and he turned out to be a playoff performer. It's like out of nowhere, he just raised his game from a third liner to a top six forward as a 16-year-old. Then he goes to the Ontario Hockey League. We saw the exact same thing. He elevated his game. And I asked him about that, and he said, you know, it's something that my dad instilled in me, you know, that big moments require big players to step up. I want to be that player. So when you look at a Caleb Malhotra, does he top out as a Bo Horvat? Can he get, you know, better than that? He's not going to be a Connor McDavid. But when you watch this kid's ascension, the fact that he's going to go to Boston playing in the NCAA against, you know, basically men, I think it's a very bright future for Caleb Mulhalter just because of what we've seen in the last 2 years, his upbringing, and the type of kid that he is.
I think you're bang on. Going to the NCAA is such a great opportunity for junior players now, and I'm glad that that door has been opened for him. Is he going to BU or BC?
He is going. I want to say he's going to BU.
Okay. So when we look at, and I think that's great too, because then you play against bigger competition, you play against older competition, you play a very fast pace, but you get a week to work on your skills between that. And the facilities at BU are phenomenal. But wouldn't we look at where the Canucks can move forward here this year? I have to ask you about Elias Pettersson. What is the situation with Elias Pettersson? Can he be a guy that can help lead this team right now? Or is he a guy that they would try to move?
You know what, Drew? I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. No, he can't. He is entering his ninth season as a professional hockey player. You look at his numbers. He had that one 102-point season. Right. That was 4 years ago. He's now coming off back-to-back 15-goal campaigns. 51 points. He's making $11.6 million. When I go in the dressing room, Drew, and I watch people interact and I watch teammates, how they get along, when I watch practice, he's all by himself.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes him laugh. I don't know what makes him smile. You can't go on the road with your own duffel bag full of video games and spend 6 or 8 hours with your virtual goggles gaming your way through an NHL season. You can't do that. And he has been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I just don't see it happen. Would I like to see it happen? Of course I would. You never want to see a person fail. But when you're paying $11.6 million, you need to perform. And he isn't capable of doing it. I don't know why. What it is. Will a change of scenery, change that? You hope so. You want to see somebody succeed. I don't see it happening in Vancouver. And I think because Ryan Johnson has been around here long enough, Daniel and Henrik Sedin have been on the ice working with both the Abbotsford Canucks and the Vancouver Canucks the last 3 years. They've seen it firsthand. When you see what's transpired here in the last couple of weeks, I think eventually Elias Pettersson will be moved if, and that's a big if, you can find anybody willing to say, you know what? He's going to be that 100-point player again. I don't see it happening.
So the Vancouver fans, how are they going to take these next couple of years? Will they be still coming out and supporting the Canucks? How will it go, do you think, for the next couple of seasons till they really find some traction?
I think bringing in Ryan Johnson and the Sedin twins was a genius move by Canucks ownership, who Agreed. Are not the most popular group in the National Hockey League. It takes the heat off of the ownership. The way that this team has been run, I think you're going to have patience. You've got the buy-in with Manny Malhotra. So I think there's a lot of goodwill. And I think if this team works hard night in and night out, you'll continue to have buy-in. And on top of it, Drew, as you know, this market is Canucks 24/7, 12 months out of a year. Now, are they a happy bunch? Hell no, it's Canucks Nation. But you do the right things. You do the right things night in and night out, you'll get behind you. And when you have guys like Brendan Gallagher and Luke Shen who are going to be in that room on the ice at practice time, there will be no passengers. You're either on the bus or you're going to be behind it.
Great stuff. Jay, you are a very articulate young man. You're outstanding. We talk a little bit more than you and with my brother.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. We can't talk about the 0-3 BC Lions right now. I think we knew that the Lions were going to be in tough Drew to start the season, the way that it's panned out. But right now, the way that the Lions are playing, especially with their secondary just getting torched night in, night out, I think Nathan Rourke's going to have to put 55 points up on the board for the Lions to start winning football games.
Well, we're going to talk to Dave Naylor next about that. Jay, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Hey, I hope we do it again. And before I go, I got to say hi to the Yana clan out there. That's the other side of the Janua family. So my Uncle Ron, my Uncle Tony, they're in the prairies. So much luck to everybody, and thanks for having me on, buddy. Nothing better than talking to prairie folks.
Great stuff. Thank you, Jay. Jay Janner, great, great guy. He's, as you can tell, he's a friend of my brother, and I see him at the rink all the time. Can't really, tell you about the language that or the words that get exchanged between him and my brother, but they are golf friends and a great individual from Global TV in Vancouver. We'll be back on the Green Zone, 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. It'll be a very quick segment. We went a little bit long there with Jay John Hour from Global TV in Vancouver, but it was well worth it. I love Jay. He's a terrific, articulate man and gave us some great insight on the Vancouver Canucks. Coming up after the news, it's going to be the great Dave Naylor, our CFL insider and TSN genius when it comes to the Canadian Football League. He dropped a great article today, just about an hour ago, talking about the offense has been the story of the first month of the CFL season. So we're going to talk to him about why that is and maybe those rule changes that some of you aren't happy about. Just saying, maybe give something a little bit of time. That's all. I know who you are. 1-877-332-8255 is the phone number. It's also the text line. So far, thank you for your text. The big question of the day, as we've been talking about, Alexander Ovechkin, the best goal scorer, most prolific goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League, is coming back for his 22nd season, $9 million for 1 year. Boy, Washington's throwing out some cash, man. So he's coming back for one more year. My question to you is, where do you rank him? Again, no wrong answers. Where do you think he is as far as greatest hockey players in the National Hockey League? When we come back after, well, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that now. I'm just going to go to the one-minute drill.
The Riders have released their depth chart for the week, and there's some good news for the roster. Both Sam Emlis and Keane Schaefer-Baker are listed as starters after they both missed time during practice this week. Nelson Lacombo is also back, starting at halfback. Returner James Letcher Jr. and defensive tackle Ollie Saad have been added to the six-game injured list. The Riders take on the Ottawa Redblacks on Friday. Kickoff for the game is set for 5:30. The Green Zone pregame show begins at 3:30. The Grade 8 is back in Washington. Alexander Ovechkin has signed a one-year deal to return to the Capitals for the upcoming season. His 929 goals are the most all-time. The Montreal Canadiens have locked up their goaltender for three more seasons. Montreal has signed Jakub Dobesh to a three-year extension. Dobesh posted a 29-10-4 record last season. And the FIFA World Cup continues today as Spain takes on Austria, Portugal faces Croatia, and Switzerland will meet Algeria. That's your Green Zone Sports. I'm Britton Gray.
Now I can do it. When we come back, Dave Naylor, our CFL insider from TSN, will talk everything about the Canadian Football League. Brett, that should make you happy on our text line on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.